2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'd like to read from verse 5 right through to verse 7. For what we proclaim is not ourselves. Boy, keep that in mind, right? Isn't that a good... We're proclaiming stuff all the time, right? But what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. Well, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, along with Galatians 2:20 and a couple others on that level. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. I'm going to emphasize that later, so just make note of that. We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. That is something of the nature of Christ living within us. That's what it's about right there. It's about not about us, it's about the one who lives in us. Would you bow your heart with me here this morning? Father in heaven, I am so grateful for the possibility of speaking and teaching in Revelation. I pray that I might, Lord, have that anointing on me this morning to reveal truth. And Lord, I pray that you'd make it abundantly clear to each of our hearts. And we thank you and we praise you and we bless you, Lord, today for the fact that you're going to speak to our hearts. We open ourselves to you in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I think I've quoted this 1,000 times, but Vance Havner, the American evangelist, has passed away now. I think he died in maybe the 70s. But he used to say this famous quote. He said he spent his whole life trying to get it together. And he said when he finally got it together, he couldn't lift it. I could relate to that. You can relate to that. You spend your whole life trying to, you know, be a Christian and to get in, you do all the right things, and then to find out that you can't possibly pull it off. So I think it's important for each of us to see, if above all else, in other words, so that we can lift it, it's important to see that you and I are assets to God and not liabilities to God. As a matter of fact, I would doubt how well you will do in your walk with the Lord until you see yourself not as a liability, but as an asset. And until you see yourself as an asset to God, instead of something, somebody who God puts up with, somebody who God tolerates, somebody who God is impatient with, because when are you ever going to lift it? You know, you may have it together, but you've never lifted it. And so many people see God as kind of harsh and always checking to make sure that they're doing it right. But until you see yourself as an asset to God, you'll never see yourself as someone whom through the living waters will flow through. That's my destiny. Out of your innermost being, the Lord would say to me, Owen, out of your innermost being comes rivers of living water. To what? To people who we live with and who we minister to and who we hang on with, around with. Living waters flowing out. But you will never have living waters flow out of you if you feel you're a liability and not an asset. Never. Never, never, never. You'll never rise higher than that. It's really an important thing to make peace with who you are. And when you do make peace with who you are, then you can begin to experience the realm of life that God has destined for you. And so I guess I've called this liking who we are, but I could have put it just as easy to say making peace with who you are in the sight of the Lord so that you like yourself. And I'm not just talking about merely self-esteem, but that you like God's new system. He has a system, right? And I suppose if Val someday has to write my epitaph, then I hope that she writes something about union with Christ, because that is one of the themes that I've had on my heart for about as long as I can remember, that Jesus came to live inside of me, and so I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. And that truth about union, to me, explains the whole thing of what it means to be a Christian. is that the Holy One has come and lived inside of me, and he's living his life through me, Christ in me, the hope of glory, and me in Christ. That's, again, that powerful, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth. But the more I see that, the more I think about it, the more I contemplate it, then I realize that, wow, I thank God who I am, and I thank God that Jesus likes me just the way I am. That's important to grasp. Water will not flow through you until you like who you are. Because it can't. It can't. If you see yourself as a liability to God, how can you be that vessel for whom the Lord speaks through and works through and shares through? So this thing, this destiny thing, is an important thing. And to be able to say, I like who I am. Not that there couldn't be improvements. There could be, right? God knows that, and you know that, and I know, we all know that. That's not a surprise. But the fact is that you are who you are, right? You are who you are. And I believe, this is my point here this morning, is that God likes that too. That's the you that he really enjoys. So when we died on the cross, again, this union thing, when Jesus died, I died. That's a major theme of New Testament living. That when Jesus died, you died, I died. When Jesus was buried, we were buried. When Jesus ascended, we ascended. When Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, we too were seated at the right hand of the Father. So when we died on the cross, we permanently died to being a liability to God. Prior to that, until we came to Christ, we were nothing but a liability. But not now. So the foundational truth, and don't you want to know what foundational truths are? I'm always saying, what's the foundational truth? The foundational truth is to know that you died with Christ and that you're no longer a liability. That's a foundational truth in my mind. Dead with Christ, risen with Christ. And having been raised with Christ, you can no longer be anything to God but an asset. An asset to him and all of his purpose and all of his plans. He's accepted you. You believe that? I believe that. I do. He's accepted you. He's pleased with you. He uses you. He lives through you. He speaks through you. He loves through you. He likes you. And you see, because most people think, well, God's job is kind of to love us, but he wouldn't really like us. Oh, I'm of the opinion that he likes you very much. Matter of fact, I bet my whole life on that. And I think back of that, bet my whole life that God loves you because of the work on the cross. He's able to love and accept and use you and live through you and speak through you and love through you. So our humanity is an asset. It's an asset. Our humanity. So I'd say let's caution us together. We don't want to reject our humanness. It's funny how we think that the end product would be almost like unhuman, like you'd be so superhuman. And so, you know, if you were close to Christ, that we would be hard to be able to stand the glow. But that's not the truth, and that's not how it works. Our humanness has to be part of God's plan. Otherwise, how can we express him? Because that's what we're about. Union with Christ is that Christ and I have been blended into one supernatural unit. Christ in me, me in Christ. And everything flows out of that. And so my job and your job, the whole thing we do every day when we get up, is to express Christ. Not to express me, to express Christ. That's what we do. And so how can we express him if our humanness is not part of that plan? So he's designed us to express him through our humanity, just the way we are. Here we are, ordinary looking people, doing unordinary things all of the time, actually. So God says, I'm going to live in you, and other people are going to see you. But you'll know that it's me. So let me just point that out again. God says, I'm going to live in you. That's the deal. And people will see you in just as you are, your humanness. And But you'll know that it's not really you. It's Christ expressing himself through you. So if we are in union with Christ, then he must have us to express himself through. Now, it's not that he's obligated, I don't think, but he's limited himself that he doesn't do anything without you, without me. Whoever is going to be ministered to, whoever is going to be touched, who's ever going to be encouraged, who's ever going to be strengthened, anything that we would do, it will come through a human. Is it not true? It's going to come through somebody who is yielded to the Lord and God would use. So we're a necessary part of both God's eternal plan and we're a necessary part of his plan in the here and now. This is the exciting part of it. This is why we live and move and have our being, because of this. So our function is to be in union with Christ. That's my only obligation. That's why this thing has a sweetness about it. It takes away the stress and our job is to get up in the morning and simply say, I'm available to you now that you live inside of me. So, giddy up, let's go, Holy Spirit. Let's just do what you want to do today. And whether it be great things or small things or little things, there you are, Christ working in you and through you and around you. I was telling you about Matthew and I sitting in the bar, showing pictures of what the Holy Spirit has done. I think he was maybe a little uncomfortable with it, but to me it was so fun. I said, here we were expressing the Lord. And John came and sanctified it for us, so but it was funny. yeah, that's right. Just go on record. We were drinking water. But we were sitting there doing what God told us to do. Express me, the Lord says, through your time together. And so as I was blessed and he was blessed together. So our function is to be in union with Christ. We are vessels. We are vessels. We are containers of the life of God. Whenever the life flows, is that those rivers of living water will flow out of us. Well, they're flowing out of us to other people, but it's because of you, it's because of me that it happens. We're vessels, containers. Simply containers of an unbelievable treasure. So that's why Paul says, we have this treasure. Remember, he says, we don't proclaim ourselves, but the Lord Jesus. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power will be of God, and not of us. But who's got the treasure? We do. You know the uniqueness here? The uniqueness is not that there's a treasure. The uniqueness is not that there is a vessel. The uniqueness of all of this miracle stuff is that there's a treasure in the earthen vessel. That's what makes us our wonder. Say, whoa. The treasure we get, the vessel we see, flawed, holes in it, cracks in it, it's worn. You can see all kinds of flaws in it if it's been used. You see that. But the awe-inspiring part of it is that there's a treasure in an earthen vessel, and that's how God wanted it to be. Some people want all treasure. They don't want to see any of the container. So they spend their whole life trying to improve the container. It's not about the container. It's about the treasure in the container. And you can't separate it. It's very necessary. So we are not the contents of the vessel. God is. Always will be. We can't produce his life. We can only express it. You can't produce the life of God. I can't, but God's plan was that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and fills us and comes into us, and Jesus lives inside of us, then we produce his life. But we can only, our job is to express it in a million different ways. We just express the love of the Lord. So 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul's just hammering this home that we are earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, flawed, human. You see, in many ways you think God could have done better. Right? He's kind of limiting himself that you're the one that shows up, right? You say, here I am, Lord. And the world looks and said, what's this? It's a vessel. A vessel. But there's a treasure in it. So the beauty, number three, if you're following the notes, The beauty of the vessel is not the vessel. It's the contents. And it's absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely magnificent. How silly to try to be the contents. What a frustrating, worthless time that would be. But that's what many do for almost the length of their life. How silly to try to be the contents. If you become the contents, then there wouldn't be any vessel to hold you. Wouldn't work. So your eternal purpose, my eternal purpose, is not to become the contents of the vessel. But my eternal purpose is to be the vessel. To let the life flow out of me. To flow out of you. And that pleases God. He's not particularly worried that the vessel is quite flawed. Matter of fact, some people don't even bother sharing because they feel so flawed that they said, what can I be? I'm not worthy. I don't share my faith. I don't do this. I don't do that. I can't do that. I've got so many flaws. And so they're waiting somehow that someday, somewhere, they're going to be this person that God will finally be able to use. But meanwhile, you feel yourself, you're more of a liability to him than you do an asset. And the Lord would say to you this morning, he's not waiting for anything. He knew what he was doing when he placed his son within you. He was fully aware of what union with Christ would be. That it's not about you. It's about you, about the vessel in you that marvels the universe. They could hardly believe that God would use somebody so human. Oh, so human. You know, even when I hang around with people somebody says, oh, you know, I didn't know that you'd have any struggles like that. They say, after all, yikes. I mean, you have any struggles. You're supposed to be a pastor. I thought you would be past that. And there are people, you'd be past that. I said, no, I'm sad to say. Sad to say that many times you will rub against the vessel. And I'll have to apologize for the vessel, but I won't apologize for the treasure in the vessel. And this is the wonder of it and the joy of it, the sheer beauty of it. Our eternal purpose is to be the vessel, let the life flow out of us. So I only do what I see with Christ. I only speak what I hear with Christ. And so somebody might say, well, you say there's a treasure in you, but it sure looks like you. Now, by the way, let me just pause. You know, I think I've done this before, but I want to share with you how to receive a compliment. We do a very poor job of this as Christians. So let's just say Michelle, let's not say it, she did it. Let's say Michelle spoke and sang. She sang. Now afterwards, because you liked the song and I liked the song and it touched us, we will go up to her and we will say, thank you for that song. Right? Now, if she's typical, she'll say, oh, it was the Lord. And we'll say, sure sounded like you. Well, it sure sounded like you. It seemed to look like you a lot. No, it was just the Lord. Now, half the time, that we receive that wrong. Oh, shucks, it was the Lord. And it was, but it wasn't. So here's what, an Old Testament picture. You know, the priests would go in and minister in the tabernacle on behalf of the people. Then they would come out from the tabernacle and would minister unto the people. And so when somebody compliments you, what you simply do is say, thank you very much. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad the sermon was helpful for you. I'm glad that you appreciated that. I'm glad for that. Well, that priest would, after ministering to the people and receiving gifts from the people, would go and stand in the holy place and offer it back to God. Our job is to say, thank you. I appreciate you sharing that with me. Or I'm glad it was a blessing to you. All you need to say, don't say it wasn't you. It was you. It sounded like you and looked like you. But it was the Lord working through you that blessed us. So to receive a compliment, simply say, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed that. Or I'm glad it was helpful or whatever else you did. And then the first moment you get, if somebody comes up to Carl and says, "Carl, this celebrated card has been really a help in my life." And Carl simply shakes your hand. He said, "I'm glad. Thank you for sharing that." And then when Carl, then what he has to do at the earliest moment he can to run back into the presence of the Lord and say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you chose to use me and it was a blessing to somebody." You see what you do? You receive the thanks. You receive the compliment with no hesitation. "Oh, I'm glad you liked it. It's one of my favorite songs too." Or "I'm glad you enjoyed that sermon. I'm glad it touched you." And then rush back into his presence and say, "Lord, I know it was you. I know it was you that did that through me. That errand you did, that thing you did that was helpful. Lord, I offer that back to you again." So that's how you receive a compliment. And otherwise there's kind of a phony craziness about it that doesn't even make sense. So we reflect the glory and the nature of the one that we contain. I'm a container. You're a container. And God manifests himself to human beings, to men and women. He manifests himself through people, to people, through people. No other way. Imagine that. Manifesting himself to men through men. Manifesting himself through people. And what a marvelous thing that is. Right? That's how it would work. The glory of the gospel. You know, you read your Bible, and what it is, it's people. Paul says, "What am I? I'm not married to your servant. I'm only the vessel that showed up." So we take the gospel. Wow, the gospel entrusted to people, you know, carrying it. It's powerful. It's wonderful. He first did this through his son, the God-man, Jesus. That's exactly what the Lord did. Now he does it through us. And so I can't be anything, and you can't be anything, but number one, a receiver, and number two, a manifester. A receiver and a manifester of the person I'm in union with. Okay, do you get that? That I'm a receiver and I'm a manifester. I am to receive the life of God, and then I manifest that. A manifester of the person I'm in union with. The whole point of our lives is to be receivers and manifestors. It's a weird word, but I didn't know how else to call it. We manifest the glory of the Lord, the message of the gospel, the power of the Lord. Even gifts, right? If there's a gift of healing flowing in here today, you know and I know one thing, and that we know for sure, that it just doesn't happen. There's not to say, "What was that? I think it was one of the gifts." No, we'd say, who is manifesting the gift of healing today? Who is manifesting the gift of prophecy? Who's manifesting this? That and lo and behold, it's that person down beside us. We say, it's him. Well, he works over here at the Safeway, you know. A message from God Almighty comes through the butcher? Yeah. Yeah. He's wrapping up your hamburger over here, comes here, and he says, "Thus saith the Lord," or lays his hand on you and you're healed. We say, "I would rather prefer that vessel over there. I don't really know this person very well." That happens all the time, by the way. I don't know who that is. Hey, be careful. This is the vessel coming. This is the manifester coming. And you may not even enjoy this person, but that's who you want. You may get healed through, or you may get blessed through, or there might be a prophetic word of encouragement to you. It'll come through a person. Isn't that the amazing thing? You say, "How? Couldn't God? You could have done better. Why did you just do it through yourself?" He says, "No, I first of all flowed through my son. He was a receiver of the divine life in the incarnation, and he was a manifester of my glory." Now Jesus says, you now are the receiver. You're the manifester. I, as my Father flowed through me, now I'm going to flow through you. Wow. To me, that excites me. That God likes me just the way I am, because there's something that he thought would be unique about mixing somebody's humanity with deity. Humanity with deity, as he did through the God-man, Jesus. So I can't be anything but a receiver and a manifester of the person that I am in union with. So here's my thought to you this morning. If that's all I can do, right? If that's all I can do, that's not hard to do. Is that all I'm to do? Mm-hmm. Receive and manifest, receive and manifest, receive and manifest, receive and manifest. Huh. If that's all I can be, because I'm thinking that's all you can be. If that's all I can, not only is that all I can do, if that's all I can be, that's not hard to be. That's easy. I can be. You can be. It's not hard. Allow me to draw attention to myself. It's not hard for me to be Owen. The problem is, you can't be Owen. You never will be, and I will never be you. But it's not hard to be Owen. For you, it's not hard to be you, is it? Don't you pull it off well? Nobody else can be like you because you already got the job first. There's only one you. But if you're trying to be someone else, that's most difficult. You can only be who you are. And I'm suggesting that God really likes the person that you are. And that's why he picked it. That's why he chose you with all of your flaws and all of your differentness. And it's a marvel to the Lord as it is to us. So living the life as God's asset has an ease to it. I'll say that again. Living the life as God's asset has an ease to it. And the reason why it has an ease to it, people can relate to you. Through your warts and through your blemishes, God can relate. People can relate to you. I mean, here's the thing. Hear me carefully on this. They can't relate to your holiness. And they never will. They never will relate to your holiness. Because it'll be something, one more thing. I should have tried harder. Look at that person. No, never. People cannot relate to our holiness, but they can relate to our humanity. They can relate to our humanness. And so I must entrust my humanness to God. Say, Lord, this is what the vessel's like. He said, yeah, I know. That's why I wanted you to be in union with my son. Because I think the Owenness and the deity and the humanity mixing together, he said, I think it'll go really well. I think it'll go really well. I'm going to enter into Caroline Jackson's life. And I'm going to reveal myself to her. And she's going to be in her humanity. Not her ultra holiness, but in her humanity, I'm going to glorify my name. Because she'll express me in a way that nobody else in the whole house will express it. And when we catch the marvelous of that, how beautiful that is, how natural that is, what an ease there is to that. How difficult to say, well, we have to try and be like our pastor, we have to try and be like our elders. No, not at all. Not at all. We entrust our humanness to God. And as we focus on Christ in us, because that's to me the eternal foundational truth, as we focus on Christ in us, God does his work in us and through us. We are transformed as we behold him. And that is, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. Indeed. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed through the same, or into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. Now, I'm not to look at the vessel and wonder how I'm going to improve the vessel. I'm to look to the treasure. And that, as I behold that glory, then I will be transformed. I will become like him. It says, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And I say, amen. That's wonderful. So the thing that you stare at. See, many people are trying, I've got to improve the vessel. I've got to improve the vessel. No, I wouldn't worry about that. Simply behold the treasure. That he's come to live inside of you, to express himself, so that you would simply be a receiver, and that would be what God wants you to be. So you can grasp your humanity, and you can say, and I would challenge you to say it here this morning, you can grasp your humanity and say, it's perfect to God right now. My humanity is perfect to God right now. If he wants to do any altering to it, that's fine. He's at work in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If he wants to change me, if he wants to draw me in some particular way, that's his right to do that. He can finish what he started. Right? He can finish what he started. But I'm suggesting that it's perfect to God right now. Your humanity inside of this vessel with the deity of Jesus, it's perfect. Absolutely perfect. And how wonderful that you can accept yourself as you are. As you are. And you can accept yourself as God's asset. That somehow God wants me around, wants you around. Do some amazing things. So finally, we're able to say, Lord, through my family tree, think about your family tree, all the bizarreness of it. Through your family tree and all of the circumstances that you've come through over the years, that you've made, Lord, because through my family tree and through the circumstances of my life, you've made the outer person that I am. The outer person that I am has come through my experiences, my upbringing, the alcoholism in our home, the things that happened to me, happened to my mom, and happened to my sister. All those things, what happened in public school and high school, what happened in my life, is that it's made the outer person that I am. And God saw that and knew that. And that's why he will use it. He'll use your family tree and the circumstances of your life to take you further development. That's what he does, to make the outer person that you are. And you live in that person. And you set that person in the world in a way that's going to attract some people to you. You will attract some people to you. And here's the point to remember, is that nobody can attract everybody. This treasure in the earthen vessel thing, you will attract some people. But you won't attract anywhere near all the people. And that's why we need one another. We need a Brian Irving. Why? Because he attracts people. But he doesn't attract all the people. He'd be the first to say that. You attract some people. I don't know why it is. You just do. And it's a beautiful thing. But nobody can attract everybody. So there are all kinds of fruit that come out of this. The body coming together and encouraging each other. Well, what are we? No, we're not trying to get rid of the vessel. Oh, no, not at all. And we're certainly not getting rid of the treasure. But we encourage the two coming together. And we pray that you will say, God, make me a receiver. Lord, make me a receiver of the good life of the Lord. Because I'm that vessel, Lord, that you want to use. So the fruit is coming. Oranges and apples and lemons. And I don't know all that you're going to produce. But I know this, that God attracts through your lemonness. Right? You're a lemon, some of you. Some of you are oranges. There's fruit, right? And God attracts through your lemonness. As they are attracted to you, they will receive the life that lives in you. Cannot help. If they touch you, if you are yielded to the Lord, and they get close enough and they interact with you, they won't know what it is, but they'll say, you're a nice, it's more than just you being, what is, you know, they don't know what that is. But if they touch you, if they're influenced by you, it will be, it's an amazing thing. They'll receive, what will they receive? They'll receive a dose of the life that's in you. You can't help it. As long as you're yielded and filled with the Spirit. Lord, I can do what you want me to do. I can be Owen. They said, that's all you have to be. Be Owen in the earthen vessel. That's all you have to be. You don't want to be me. You want to be who you are. And so the life will flow through you. You don't have to be anybody else, and you don't have to work on this time, spending this time trying to improve yourself. I mean, it'll be forever. You can't live long enough. You can only say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm your child. Live through me. Imagine if every day you yielded yourself to the Lord, and then you were free to be yourself. Because we do express God's love in manifold ways. And one of the things, as I've just mentioned about being, people attracted to your lemonness, sometimes they're attracted to the grapeness of your life or the Mountain Dew of your life. As Val used to drink a lot of Mountain Dew when she was a kid. That and a Fat Emma bar. But she'll explain that. But there's an attractiveness. The variety in ministry is part of our being God's precious assets. We're an asset to God. The body is an asset to God. This church has been planted by the Lord that the life of God would flow into us and out from here. And as it does that, oh my goodness, it's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. It brings tears to your eyes. Even as I felt tears to my eyes as she sang that last stanza. And I thought, the body's expressing itself again. Right? It's just, oh, such a strong declaration of being a child of God. Variety in ministry. It's amazing. But to others, it looks like us. But we know it's Christ in us. We know it's Christ in us. So we're at peace in our spirit union with God, knowing that our outer humanity is God's perfect, perfect, perfect instrument. He doesn't make mistakes. He picked John the Baptist because he wanted John the Baptist. His personality would be perfect. Right? He picked Paul. He knew Paul would be the exact right person. And down through the centuries and all of our lives, it's just true that our outer humanity is God's perfect instrument. So thank God for your parents. So you don't know what my mom or dad. No, I don't. But I know one thing has brought you to this place where God's pleased with your background. He likes you. So thank God for your parents. Thank God for your difficult upbringing. Just begin to thank and say, God, thank you. That was a difficult upbringing. It shouldn't be that. No, it shouldn't have been it, but it was and it is. And God didn't take it away. He decided to blend it in with you. So your story, the way you are is all part of this, your difficult upbringing. So God has used these things to make you the perfect instrument, the treasure in the vessel. It's the means. And it is the means. It is the means by which God touches the world. That's how he's chosen to do it. That the excellency of the power would be of God and not of us. So you are no longer a liability to God. You are an asset. You are a wonderful and a beautiful and a necessary asset. And God is very pleased just by how it came together. How beautiful it is, and how wonderful, how wonderful. I was reading, the other day I was reading about Oswald Chambers, and one night, the next day I was reading about Andrew Murray. You know what they said? Andrew Murray never got old. Well, he did, if you see pictures of him. But they said he never seemed like he did. He said he was childlike. Right up to the time that he died. Andrew Murray. He said it was, they'd walk in a room and he would lighten it. Andrew Murray. And as I'm reading, I said, here I am, 130 years later, I'm reading this. There's God speaking through the vessel still. Amazing. He's a necessary, beautiful and necessary asset. So you and I, as I close with this word, that you are the vessel by which the world drinks. If they are going to taste of the divine life, of the living water flowing through you, then you become the vessel by which the world drinks. You are the means by which the world sees the love and life of God. It's a beautiful thing. Stand as we close. We're saying, how will they hear? How will they experience this Jesus? Don't you know? I know. It's through you. Being you. Not being anybody else. But you are perfect. So am I. I like me. Once I've learned to be me. And not somebody else who I admire. If you will yield yourself to God this morning, really yield to Him, just you, Lord, I think you're going to find that God will increase your effectiveness. The way you laugh, the way you are. We like that about you. We even see, by the way, in case you didn't know, we already got what you're about. We already peeked behind the stage. Show's over, gig's up. We already caught it. You can't fool us. We already see all of your humanity. Isn't that true? And if you've been here long enough, we've seen it all, folks. We've seen all of your humanity. We couldn't believe how mad you got. We couldn't believe how upset you could be. Now we know. And that's why we marvel at it. Because a few minutes later, all of a sudden, everybody knows about Val and everybody knows about me, too. So why couldn't we get... Couldn't we get some other people? Are we stuck with this? Yeah. And it's perfect to God's purposes. And I told the Lord, Lord, I want to be used. I want to be a receiver and a manifester all the days of my life. That somehow, as I just be me, people would be attracted and they would touch me or touch you in some way. I'm using it as a metaphor. And they would touch you in that life of God. Oh, it blows me away. But I get it. I get it. I get how this works. The treasure in the earthen vessel. It can't be all treasure and it can't be all vessel. It has to be together. The great marvel and mystery. People using people to bring glory to God. I wonder, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, if not looking around, I wonder if you would just dare say, Lord, I'm not talking about your flaws, I'm talking about your humanity. Maybe you could just say, Lord, I like the person that you've made me. I like who I am. Thank you for accepting me just as I am. Thank you, you're not waiting for me to get better. You'd use me right now. So I yield my heart to you and my life. Thank you that I am the perfect manifester. You made it. Thank you for my parents, my difficult upbringing, those tragedies, those disappointments, has shaped my vessel. That the power of God would be seen. Lord, I pray you would encourage and strengthen everybody here today in you. Oh, we thank you for union with Christ. Christ in me, expressing himself perfectly. Thank you. Dismiss us with your glory and your blessing. I pray you'd use us, that we'd be good reflectors, that people would taste and see that the Lord is good through something that they sensed in us. We bless you. Thank you, God, that people aren't attracted to our holiness. They're attracted to our humanity. So we bless you, yield ourselves to you in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. Let's give thanks for what he's done in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Well, if you need prayer this morning, I believe there'll be some prayer people here at the front, over here to your right, my left. And if you're able to stay for a cup of coffee, we'd love to have some coffee with you. So please come to the patio if you would. God bless you. Thanks for being here.